You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are, another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, it's Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker.
There we go. It's good.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
What up? Welcome in. Dan Patrick Show. Fox Sports Radio. Man, I hope you're having an absolutely spectacular day. I understand most places listen to the DP show. It's snowy outside. It's cold outside. It's windy outside. It sucks. If you're in your car, take your time. No rush. Okay? If you're inside, stay inside. Stay warm. You got Rob Parker, the crazy uncle. He's like the only guy who doesn't want to give Tom Brady credit for...
An American Express card? I don't have to give him credit.
As Charlie Hayes
used to say.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I'm Doug Gottlieb. I give credit where it is in fact, due. And we might or might not be broadcasting from sunny Southern California, where... like, I don't know if you've had any friends who have bailed from California, right? Like, I grew up here... I moved away, I came back, and you know, it's like, the man, I have friends that moved to Idaho, they're very happy, or they were, Montana.
Are they really happy there, or just they're faking it because they think saving their 10% on their taxes is worth living in a place where it's lowly populated and not much fun?
Well, I don't know if less population means not as much fun or more space or whatever. I do know, though, that like having lived where it's really cold, having lived in the Northeast, right, or lived in Oklahoma in the Midwest, where they're just
frozen. I lived in Detroit for 20 years, so I know,
there's a cost-benefit analysis there. Like, is it expensive? Yeah. Taxes? Sure. Homeless problem? Yeah. When this stuff slows down, the traffic will pick back up. But you know what? It's going to be 70 today.
I know.
It's going to be 70 today.
You don't have to tell me. Let me tell you. You know, I'm a New Yorker, and I never thought I would love a place. I used to come out here to visit, Doug, because I have family on my father's side who lived out here. And I used to come visit my Aunt Beverly and stay with her and whatnot. And I always loved it, but I never thought about living out here. I just used to always come out and be like, I love it. 75 every day. It's sunny. And what it's done for me physically, Doug, like you, I don't know if it doesn't always affect everybody, but the sun works for me. It makes me feel better.
Emotionally. That's emotionally, yes. Not physically. Yeah, it makes your body feel better too, but it does. No, listen, we could go into a long dissertation. Like, look, it's been well documented that I got in trouble when I was at Notre Dame. But I would say predating the nonsense that I got into, I have, without any question, I had seasonal depression. You know, when Notre Dame is in, it's called Michiana, right? Michigan, Indiana come together. Right. It's on the south bend of Lake Michigan. You know, it's miles off the lake. But because of where it is, you get, I mean, I tracked it. Like September, October, October and November, the sun literally never came out. It didn't mean it was cold and snowy, but it's just gray every day. And when you grow up in Southern California where you see the sun and you get some vitamin D, you just feel better. You do. So it's hard. So listen, I'm fully respectful of people who are listening to us like, please stop with the weather.
Right,
I know it sucks here.
Right.
Thank you for rubbing it in, Gottlieb and Parker. All right. Well, let's start with this. Ben Roethlisberger's been a staple of the Pittsburgh Steelers for years. He's been the starting quarterback on two Super Bowl winning teams. You go back a couple seasons ago, he had a 5,000-yard passing season. This year was his first year coming off of essentially Tommy John surgery. They started out 11-0, and then they petered out at the end of the season, losing in their first playoff game. And Ben had come out a couple weeks ago, and he basically said, like, look, he wanted to come back and play, but it wasn't about money. Everybody always says, okay, so you play for free. No, I will not, but not about money. The problem is he does have a contract where there's, you know, $41 million in a cap hit based upon how the contract is currently written. So there's four possible options here, but really three. The first possible option is that he retires. If he retires, it really helps the Steelers, but who's going to be their quarterback? But it helps them in terms of their cap. The second option is play as is with the contract, which seems pretty much untenable because of the cap hit, of the dead cap money as well. So you can't really cut him. I guess you can, but that's a lot of dead cap money to eat. You're not going to be able to trade him. The third option is for him to come back with a different contract, which does push some of the dead cap and the cap hit further down the road, but it will always be there. It's just
right. Eventually, they're going to have to face it. Right, eventually.
And they have all these other issues with Juju Smith-Schuster and other. They got a ton of other players. This is a bad cap year for the Steelers. This is their GM, Kevin Colbert, talking about Ben Roethlisberger and whether or not they want him back.
He reiterated that to us, that he wants to continue to play. And we told him, quite frankly, we have to look at this current situation. With Ben's current cap number, some adjustment will have to be made. And we're not negotiating as we sit here and answer this question. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is on a team. Ben Roethlisberger did a lot of really good things last year. And we anticipate that he could still do some good things moving forward. So hopefully there's a way that we can try to figure out and do what's best for the organization and do what's best for Ben. And hopefully he'll be able to see that and feel the same way we do. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
That, of course, is the general manager of the Steelers. What's your reaction when you hear that?
Not a ringing endorsement. Well, Ben Roethlisberger is still on the team. Thanks for telling us, Kevin. Yeah, is he? He's still on the team? Okay, because he has a contract. So I don't know what telling us that meant. I would assume that they wish that he would retire and walk away. I don't know if they can force him to do that with that much money still on the table, Doug. You know, like you can't make somebody walk away from a contract and money that would be his last in the NFL. I just think it's time to move on. He's a very old 39, can't move, looks like the Tin Man. That team blew up at the end. They were 11-0 at one point. Even when they were 11-0, nobody thought they were going to the Super Bowl. Just wasn't that kind of team. And if they can move on and make something else happen, I mean, I know there's quarterbacks out there. I don't know if they have to have him back because there's nobody else on the roster to take the spot, and then he winds up being benched halfway through the season when they're 1-6. I just don't know. And at some point, you know, Pittsburgh, sometimes you have to take a dip. You know, it hasn't – Doug, they've been able to somehow survive it. They've had three coaches the last 95 years, they're always in contention. They're always – above 500, they haven't bottomed out like a lot of franchises have. So it would be new territory for Pittsburgh if they were willing to do that in order to get from underneath.
Well, I think you look at the Steelers this upcoming season, it does have a chance, a possibility of looking a lot like the New England Patriots this past season. Patriots were in cap hell. Okay, then they had eight guys opt out, and they had Cam Newton playing a minimum deal, and he can't really throw a football. He still won seven games, right? There's something about your organization that you're just you can't. It's a good thing and it's a blessing and a curse, right? There's such a passion for winning that you can't ever truly bottom out, and that's always going to hurt you in the draft. But you know, like, look, Patriots terrible season. They win seven games. With a bad roster.
Right, right.
And I think that's part of what you'll see with the Steelers, which leads me to wonder, like, I think their best possible scenario is for Ben Roethlisberger to come back on as minimum a deal as possible and then draft a quarterback. The problem with it is, like, do they really think that that Mason Rudolph is the answer? Mason Rudolph is the guy. That means that they are trying to be bad for a year and then, you know, be bad, tank, and get better. Like, look, it's helped the Browns. The Browns won one game over 2 years. Of course they have a ton of star players.
Yep.
It's you draft that high in the draft for as long as they've drafted that high in the draft. It's not just the first round, the second round, the third round, the fourth round.
You're gonna
eventually reload with personnel. I don't know. The Steelers are they basically are at the mercy of Ben Roethlisberger. If he wants to come back and play, he can come back and play. If they cut him, it hurts him. So I don't think cutting him is really an option they want to explore. They can just make it super uncomfortable if he comes back, which is what it appears like they've already done.
Yeah, from the conversation, right?
Yes, I mean, yes.
The conversation, if you were Ben at home and you were listening to it, it didn't sound like a ringing endorsement. They could have just said, man, we're going to load this thing up. We were 11-0 last year. We were on our way. Yes, we lost in the playoffs. We weren't happy. But we're going to load up Ben again and make another run at it. We can win this division and have a chance at the Super Bowl like anybody else in the league. We got the personnel, we got the players, and we got our leader who's led us to two Super Bowls. That's a different conversation, but we didn't hear that.
Okay, so it looks like Wentz is going to end up in Indy, right?
Is that new? I thought it was the Bears, so it's different.
No, he doesn't want to play for the Bears. He doesn't want to be traded to the Bears. And I feel like Philly has held on to this thing too long trying to drive up the price, and they're not going to get it, and ultimately they're going to have to dump it.
Right, not with the contract that he has, right.
Well, it's not just the contract that he has. He wants to play for Indy.
I'm just saying, they're not going to get what the Lions got, a King's ransom, but again – The Lions had to take the golf contract. I'm just saying that the Eagles aren't going to get what the Lions got.
No. With the Lions, yeah, no. With the Lions got for Stafford,
right?
Correct, because he's not Stafford.
That's what I'm saying.
And I've said this. It's classically like real estate, right? You think that house across the street is a comp for yours. It ain't a comp for yours. It's not just they had an angel buyer. They had the perfect setup, right? You had the Lions GM just happened to be the guy who was director of college scouting with the Rams, who obviously believed in Jared Goff. So you got that benefit. Plus you had the Rams, who don't seem to care about first round picks. Like, all of these things betted from the Lions, as opposed to Wentz, who's not viewed close to Stafford in terms of where he is mentally, emotionally, how he deals with success or how he's dealt with failure. Like, they're basically selling a distressed property. They got to take anything they can for him.
No, I get it. I would take a chance on Wentz. I think at least we saw. I get it. The last couple of years have been really rough and a lot of injuries. He lost his confidence, a lot of turnovers. I get it. But we did see, even though it was a couple of years ago, this guy had a chance to win the NFL MVP. And had it not been for an injury, probably would have won it. He was playing at that kind of level. And a lot of other guys have never gotten to that level. You know what I mean? Like, never played to where they were even in that conversation. So there's something there. And maybe if he goes to Indianapolis with Frank Reich, he could bring it back out of him with the right situation. So I'm a Wentzylvania, a Wentz in a lifetime guy. I'm hoping he can get his career righted and get to a situation where he's wanted and get help.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Frank Reich apparently is the guy that thinks he can fix him. It would be interesting. That's where he had his most success. What's interesting is other guys that were on that staff with the Eagles are in Chicago, and he wants nothing to do with that staff. So, coming up next, we'll ask Will Blackman what he thinks. Can Carson Wentz be fixed? What do you do with Ben Roethlisberger? Houston appears at this point to be standing pat. Do they, or is this just a classic game of chicken? With Rob Parker, I'm Doug Gottlieb. That's upcoming next in the Dan Patrick Show. But first, any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting one of those birthday cards that are shaped like cash. So you already know that there's cash inside before opening it. But in this case, it's stuffed with your first year cash back match, so you don't have to send a thank you note. Cash back match only by Discover card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover, something brighter.
Oh.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Doug Gottlieb, Dan, and Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes. This is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Will Blackman is a wine concierge. He's a Super Bowl champion. As a matter of fact, you can follow him at Will Blackman on Twitter, and he joins us now on the Dan Patrick Show. Will, let me play for you what Kevin Coburn, who's the general manager of the Steelers, said about Ben Roethlisberger, and then you tell me, as a former player, what he's really saying. Take a listen.
He reiterated that to us, that he wants to continue to play. And we told him, quite frankly, we have to look at this current situation. With Ben's current cap number, some adjustment will have to be made. And we're not negotiating as we sit here and answer this question. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is on a team. Ben Roethlisberger did a lot of really good things last year, and we anticipate that he could still do some good things moving forward. So hopefully there's a way that we can try to figure out and do what's best for the organization and do what's best for Ben. And hopefully he'll be able to see that and feel the same way we do. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Will, what do you think that means?
Make up your damn mind, Ben. I think they're in a situation where it's like, sure, they would love to have him for another year, and I think he wants to play just one more year. But just know, like, there's gonna have to be some things on the back end that we need to construct. Where it's like, yeah, you can be here, but just know we're trying to get ready for the future. You know, are we gonna have to blow this whole thing up and start over, especially in the offensive end? You know, we lost one player. You know, we need to get better in the run game. We might lose Juju. You know, so they're trying to figure some things out, especially on that side of the ball.
How did Ben look to you last year, Will? I know they were 11-0 at one point.
Which is a big deal.
Yeah, but I don't think it was a convincing. Nobody thought they were going to the Super Bowl, even when they were 11-0. I'm just asking.
They lost two of their best linebackers.
I didn't think they were.
They weren't that good, though, Doug. I'm just –
No, but they weren't – it's not like they were bad. They were terrible, right? I mean, like, they're a pretty good football team.
I was covering the NFL since 1987. It was the worst 11-0 team I ever saw. That's all I'm going to say. All right, I'm asking Will about Ben. Where is he as a quarterback? Is he still good or not?
Ben is now probably middle bottom tier. I'm not going to say he's not good because you can't replace that kind of intelligence and experience. Like, he knows what to do. He was smart enough to change his game, whereas, yeah, people got tired of the dink and the dunk, but it was able to help them do what they do. So I think he's still better than most quarterbacks. Is he still, like, tier one elite? No, he's not. But I think he's still good enough to do what they need to do in terms of him being smart. Again, it's hard when you're not running the ball as effectively because that's what other teams were able to do. You know, you look at what Tampa was able to do with all their running backs and what have you in terms of moving the ball, running the ball, and all those things. They were able to do that, and that helped Brady. You know, when the Saints are running the ball well, it helped Drew Brees, you know. So that's still a big part in terms of what a quarterback needs.
J.J. Watt said free agency is going to be wild. I don't think anybody was surprised that he either got traded or released. And you know, now he can go anywhere. But what is the – do you want him on your football team? Yes. But how much do you want to pay him? Where does he fit? Like, if you were to advise J.J. on the best fit in terms of style of play and the need for his talents, where would it be?
You know what? I probably find some way to get him up in Seattle. And I literally just thought of that right now. I don't know. I just find some way to get him up there. I think along with Bobby Wagner in that secondary. And, yes, they did get Dunlap. But they just need, like, another force, I believe, on that D-line. And if they're able to find some way to make that work, I think that would be a good place for him.
Where are you on the Russell Wilson public display of ripping his offensive line and basically saying, you know, they're not good enough and I want some say in personnel and all that? It just seemed not that a player can't talk with management. I think it should be a private conversation. But if you're in that locker room or you play on the offensive line, does that go over well?
That's so interesting to me because that story said it came from his camp. I'm like, no way Russell outright said that himself. That's not him. Like, okay, I have not talked to Russell in a while, but that doesn't strike me as something that Russell would come out and say. So that's
but
why
Doug, wasn't it a conversation he had with Dan Patrick, though,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
It was on the record. Yeah.
Will, no. Will saying that just sounds weird that he would say it, but he did, in fact, say it. I mean.
Right. It was almost as if, like, he was pressured into saying it. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel like he does deserve some say. He's been there for a while, and he kind of knows what he feels or whatever he wants. But, you know, I think it's rather interesting, but I don't think it's that crazy in terms of a big deal. If you don't think things are going well as they are, then by all means, speak on it.
But publicly, you think the offensive line is not trying to block for you?
I don't know. So maybe something like that is what's going to get it done. You know, I'd rather guys just be straight up and transparent. You know, if it happens publicly, then for something like this, okay. You know, get better at your job.
Doug, I want to ask one more question in here about Urban Meyer. And was he damaged, dinked up, whatever we want to term, with the whole Chris Doyle hire, and then he resigned the day after he publicly, you know, pushed back when people questioned the hire of Doyle and said he was vetted and that they coached together, or they were together in Utah, which was a lie. They never were there at the same time. If you're a player in that locker room, a black player especially, how do you look at Urban Meyer that he was trying to push this guy who came with tremendous baggage from Iowa, and then, you know, the pressure got to Urban Meyer and he had to back down on this?
Well, that it goes back to, like, the constant narrative I've been talking about for years, and that's when coaches, like, you know, take over a head coaching job, they end up hiring, like, people that they trust. They hire in their close friends, they hire in their buddies, versus going out and truly evaluating the scene and finding the best coach for that position, you know? And what happens is that when coaches go out there and they hire their friends because they want to take care of them, a lot of times it backfires. Now, I've never seen it backfire in this regard where the guy never even made it to Jacksonville. But I've seen it where some coaches take it for granted. Like, oh, you know, my buddy hired me, so I'm not going to, you know, I don't need to really do that great of a job because I'm good. I'm taken care of. So it just goes back to that narrative, man, is like coaches just need to go out there and truly survey the field and hire the best people for that position, not so much going out there and hiring their homeboys because that's why they feel comfortable or they want to take care of their people.
Well, I actually think that Doyle was respected as one of the best in the field, and they did have a relationship.
That's fair.
And you know, so
had some major baggage, though. Would you admit that, Doug?
Well, just how it ended at Iowa was bad. There's no question. But again, this is Urban Meyer saying, like, look, I vetted it. The problem was, I don't think he had any feel for the public sentiment, whatever is real or whatever is. I don't. Again, like, I know how it reads, but I also know that he was let go, but they had to pay him. So it wasn't like they fired him for cause and found and could find proof of his behavior so great that he didn't get paid. So there's obviously some gray area to it, right? And there were a lot of great things that were done at Iowa. I don't know about him, the person. This was Urban Meyer saying, I believe in the person. And it was a miscalculation. I could be wrong. I don't think most guys care about that, truthfully.
See, I disagree. I think that I would look at that, and I think that that's why the guy didn't get the job, didn't finish the job. If it was no big deal, Urban Meyer, listen to that.
I didn't say it was no big deal.
Well, but if you
never
listen to
no
Urban Meyer, when he hired him, he pushed back and was like, oh, yeah, you know, I vetted him. I've known him for 20 years. All that went out the window in 24 hours, Doug. I mean, what? How could that happen? He was so confident that he made the hire and that he didn't think there would be an issue. How could he have miscalculated that much? That means he doesn't know the temperature of the room and the country we're living in. People don't accept that.
No, but that's where the miscalculation is when you don't know the temperature of it.
Right.
And that's been the norm. That's been the constant narrative of all last year, you know, is that people just don't understand the temperature of the magnitude of what that caused. So I think that comes back to what it was.
Yeah, I'm with Will on this one. Will Blackman join us on the Dan Patrick Show along with Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. I mean, because it reminds me of Greg Schiano, right? It was the Greg Schiano was going to go to Tennessee, and then Clay Travis leads some revolt where he links him because he was on the Penn State staff with Sandusky. There's this massive uproar, right? Now, look, Doyle was personally accused of these things, so it is different. But I also think that this is part of the allure to Urban Meyer wanting to be a pro coach as opposed to a college coach is I think that most guys in college think that the pros, it's just a meritocracy. It's just about how good you are. You don't have to worry about class. You don't have to worry about anything. I just go and get players and the best men win, period. But again, like this is where it's changed in the NFL, where there's a lot more to it than just go out and hire a strength coach or go out and hire a coach that you think is the best because of your ability to evaluate.
Yeah, because I think there's been tons of coaches that have been hired in the past that had baggage, but I think now everyone's just way more socially aware and are more inclined to speak up, even going now with quarterbacks wanting a say in personnel. You know, guys are more aware now. Guys are more, sensitive to these subjects. So that's why it was like, okay, no, he can't come in. Maybe 10 years ago that hire would have been fine, you know. But now it's everything is more magnified in that regard. So that's why they were like, okay, we got to pull the plug on this.
Will, let me ask you about Carson Wentz. Do you think he's fixable?
Yeah, he just needs a fresh start. That's all. It's that simple for him.
I agree. I don't think that he's beyond repair and he can't play anymore or anything. The Philly situation, and I'm not putting it on other people. He didn't play well. He turned the ball over too much. But there were a lot of issues there, a lot of injuries. They lost all 10 starters on offense last year. 2 years ago, if you remember, Carson with I don't know what receivers he had, Will, they won the division. Do you remember? And he beat the Dallas Cowboys in order to get there. I mean, that was just 2 years ago.
It's hard, you know. We can say cry wolf whatever, but it's hard to play in a toxic environment. It's hard to do well in that type of environment, you know. And for him, obviously, you go back to when Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, you know, instead of him because he was hurt. And then whatever happened with you know getting a quarterback in second round, and then all the stuff that's going on. So it was definitely a toxic environment. And for someone to say it's not, well, your Super Bowl winning head coach is not there. I mean, he just won the Super Bowl not too long ago and he's not there. So it definitely was a weird toxic environment. So it was kind of hard. It's not kind of hard. It is hard to play when sure you do have a contract that says you are the future, but there's so many things going around you that you have no idea where you're like, you don't know what's going on. So to go out there and to be super stoic and block everything out and play football is hard. So that's probably why he was going out there and taking chances and trying to sling it and trying to make things happen because he couldn't control anything else. So I just think for him, he is a good quarterback. He's very skilled, very talented. That same year they won the Super Bowl, he was leading candidate MVP before he got hurt. And so I think he just needs a new fresh start.
Okay, help me out with this one. Matt Stafford is in LA. How much of an upgrade over Jared Goff is that?
I think it's a huge upgrade for the simple fact that I think everyone who has played against Stafford, you respect the danger of what he can do with the football. I think Jared Goff is a good quarterback. Obviously, led his team through it, but I just feel like nobody was afraid of what he can do. Like it's not like okay, we got to go out there and we got to stop Goff. No, it was we got to stop Gurley. We got to stop them from running the football. because if they can run the football, then they're able to work their play action game and do all these things. Where, and also if the play breaks down, no one's not sure if Goff can go out there and throw the football off script. Where Stafford, it doesn't matter. You know, I put him in that tier with Aaron Rodgers, with Mahomes. Now Josh Allen, who can just take the football and sling it wherever they want. You know, that's the type of player he is.
I think Matthew Stafford is way overvalued. I watched his career from day one. He never beat any good teams. They never won a division.
Okay,
Matthew Stafford's
there, though,
right. I'm gonna give you. And people always say, just blame the Lions. He played with a first ballot Hall of Famer and a wide receiver of Calvin Johnson and Ndamukong Suh and them. They had and Nick Fairley. They had a fifth ranked defense 1 year. His record against teams over 500 is 10-66. I watched this guy, and a lot of his numbers, that's why on Detroit radio people call him Stat Patford, a lot of his numbers come after they fall behind after two or three touchdowns and defenses soften. He's not this great quarterback that people keep acting like, oh, it's not his fault. Everything that happened in Detroit was everybody's fault except Matthew Stafford. This guy was the first overall pick in the draft, and he hasn't won a playoff game in a dozen years. And Matt Stafford has to get some of the blame.
Preach!
No, that's fair. He can get some of the blame. Exactly, some of the blame. But the ones who are vouching for him, the ones who truly understand like what he can do, are the ones that have played against him.
Yeah,
we can throw all these numbers in. We can say all these things like he hasn't won or the team hasn't won. They've been through like, what, three head coaches already trying to figure those things out. They got a new GM, all these things. And at the end of the day, guys who have lined up across from Stafford, they know exactly what he can do, how scary, how talented he is. Because that's, I'm telling you, man, and I'm speaking from experience myself, being in Green Bay, playing against him. You know, even when I was in Washington playing against him.
How many times did he beat you when
you
were in Green
Bay? Hold on, wait. But Rob, what Will is politely saying is that sounds great on radio, right? But all that matters, you're worth what somebody's willing to pay you.
I get that part, though.
And the LA Rams.
What
the LA Rams are saying is, Rob Parker, we hear you. We completely disagree with you.
He played
in systems that didn't challenge him. He didn't have a running game. He didn't have a good enough roster. Nobody wins it alone in the NFL.
Okay,
and they think you're wrong.
And you know what? The trade will be a bust when he doesn't win a Super Bowl because that's the only thing he's gone to win a Super Bowl. He's got to win a Super Bowl. They went to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff. If they don't get to a Super Bowl and win it, what's the difference? The difference is Matt Stafford has to win a Super Bowl. Otherwise, what's the difference? Jared Goff had the fifth greatest offense with the Rams. They went to a Super Bowl. They got undressed by Bill Belichick. I get it. He's regressed.
No, actually, they got undressed by the Chicago Bears that playoffs. That's why everyone now has the blueprint on what to do against Jared Goff. That's exactly what happened. It was the Bears. And the difference is that I don't think they'll be able to do that with Matt Stafford. They are in a win-now situation. They're like, okay, we need to figure this out. We're in a win-now. That's why like they have all these players that they're trying to figure out. And I'm also sure that when the new GM, Brad Holmes, went over to Detroit, him and Les Snead made some kind of a deal. Listen, I'm going to help you out. You help me out. My window is closing. You got a new opportunity. They're going to figure it out. That's what it was. And to answer your question, Stafford went down the field in the fourth quarter and actually beat us. So, yes, he won that game in 2015 or 16.
Rob, listen, this is like me talking to an NFL GM, tell him what I think. It doesn't really matter what I think. It's what the league thinks. And the league completely disagrees with you.
No,
and it's also you don't have to win a Super Bowl.
That doesn't make any sense.
You don't have to win a Super Bowl for the trade to make sense. Hold on.
Why you made the trade. You're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you believe Matthew Stafford is the missing piece, Doug.
Hold on.
That's why they made the trade, because they value him more
correct
now.
Will the Rams win the Super Bowl with Matt Stafford in the next 2 years?
That's not what I asked you.
I asked you, will
Rob,
they win the Super Bowl?
You know how many things have to go right for you to win a Super Bowl?
I get that. I'm
asking.
No, you
don't.
Apparently
you will. Don't. You keep
I'm
saying
asking,
I get
will.
That. No, I get that.
Will they
no,
win
you
the
don't.
Super Bowl? Yes or no is the answer, Will. Yes or no?
I can't answer that right now.
Why?
Because you don't know.
Will they win the Super Bowl? Yes or no?
Because
You don't know about the rest of the league.
It's a team thing, right? It's John Johnson.
There's 53 dudes, right? Like, look, I think we would all, well, outside of you, Rob, everybody else agrees that Tom Brady is the winningest, most successful. He brings winning to it. But a lot of other things have to go your way in order to win a Super Bowl. He don't win a Super Bowl unless he's got that dynamic front four that he has in Tampa. He doesn't win a Super Bowl unless he has Malcolm Butler make play. Like, you don't do it all by yourself. But the Rams said, like, look, we are winning in spite of our quarterback play. We want to get a guy who we can win sometimes because of our quarterback play. We feel like he's limiting the growth of our wide receivers, of our young running back. And that doesn't mean you'll win a Super Bowl, and it doesn't make the trade a bad trade if you don't. If it puts you in a better position than you were previously, and you're willing to take on the financial ramifications of moving off a guy where you still have to pay dead cap money, then it's the right move. That's it. It's not the black-white thing of, well, you either win a Super Bowl or it's a failure. Green Bay season wasn't a failure. They didn't win a Super Bowl. They had the best record. They lost in a close game in the NFC Championship game. That's not the way sports works.
Green Bay season was a failure. Yes, no, it wasn't. Was. Yes,
it no, was. Wasn't. I mean, Will, was Green Bay season a failure?
Green Bay season was a failure.
Thank you very much. Listen, Doug, it was.
Here's the thing. It was because they were a few plays away last year in the same situation. And then they go back this year, you got the MVP, he's playing out of his mind, and then you let, you know, Tampa do their thing. So I think for Green Bay, it was a failure because they're a team, too, that's super close where, like the Rams, they can make a couple of adjustments this year, this offseason. So for Green Bay, it was because they were the team that was primed to go ahead and get this done. A lot of teams had them ready to rock and go right in there. So I think for them, it was a failure.
Maybe here's a better parallel, right? Okay, so the Tampa Bay Buccaneers thought, if we can get a quarterback that just doesn't turn the damn ball over, right?
It wasn't Super Bowl the bust for Green Bay. So in that terms of a failure, right, it wasn't a failure in that regard. But in terms of them, they should have been, right. Now, if Tampa did not go to the Super Bowl, that would have been an absolute failure because they made a similar decision that the Rams have made. Like, okay, we're done with this guy. We need someone that's going to hopefully get us there because that's what we think we need.
By the way, you can hear Will Blackman on Fox Sports Radio. You can also follow him on social media, and he has a wine podcast as well, right?
The wine MVP podcast. I just released my first episode yesterday.
What's the wine of choice in this episode? Red or white?
It's red. It's a Maris. It's from the family Foley Society. He actually Bill Foley. He owns the Vegas Knights. He has a whole wine collection of vineyards and golf courses and resorts.
All right. Any truth to this? You put together this entire podcast to get free wine. Any truth to that at all?
I already get free wine, so now I'm trying to get paid.
Okay, fair enough. Get paid to drink wine. That is a smart man. That's when you're a smart dude. Will, thanks for joining us, dude.
No, I appreciate you, fellas.
All right, Will Blackman joining us. Okay, so we've established that it's Matt Stafford Super Bowl or bust for Rob Parker. I've established that I think you can simply be better as a football team and not get there. All right, coming up next. How does it end for the Padres? What does that have to look like in order for the Fernando Tatis deal to be a good one? With Rob Parker, I'm Doug Gottlieb. That's next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
We have breaking news in the National Football League. Breaking news. I had been told by my friends in the Chicago Bears organization this would happen, and it has happened. The Indianapolis Colts have traded for Carson Wentz. The Eagles trade Carson Wentz to the Colts. This is from Chris Mortensen. In exchange for a 2021 third-round pick and a conditional second-round pick that could turn into a first in 2022. So, assuming he's a starting quarterback, which he will be The Eagles will eat that dead cap money. He'll play for the Colts, and they'll get a third this year and a first next year. Your reaction, Rob Parker?
Perfect spot for Carson Wentz. Indianapolis, I think, made the right decision. They needed a quarterback, and he had success with Reich. So this all adds up. I'm all for it.
Yeah, he didn't want to play. He didn't want to play for the Bears, and so that hurt their ability. The Eagles kept trying to drive up the price. The Bears had made their offer, kept their offer, but couldn't. You know, they weren't going to budge him. They weren't going to overpay for a guy that didn't want to play there. He couldn't get a first round pick out of the deal.
Doesn't want to play, you know, right, Doug? If somebody doesn't want to be there, you can't force.
Yeah,
to play.
It's weird though because some of that coaching staff had worked with him in Philadelphia when he had that great season, and it is the same system. But nonetheless, Indy indoors, better offensive line. I think they have a good, not great. Obviously, they have a very good young running back, wide receivers. Okay, but look, Chris Ballard's done an excellent job. Excellent job. Should be pointed out that the Bears and the Colts actually have the same record over the last 3 years. Exact same record.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah, but this, so that means Philadelphia, one would guess, they're in the market to draft a quarterback because as much as I'm sure they like Jalen Hurts, he does not appear to be, by anybody's estimation, a long-term answer. Now, maybe they can ride it out and put a bunch of pieces in place and use that first-round draft pick elsewhere, but most people think they're in the quarterback market.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he had some success, but as they got a little tape on him, things changed, got tougher. I've read all the quotes, you anonymous GMs and personnel people who still thought Carson Wentz was a better quarterback, you know, as far as playing that position compared to Jalen Hurts. So maybe Jalen Hurts changes people's minds. Maybe Philadelphia does something that people don't expect, and it changes. If not, then they'll be looking for somebody else.
Yeah, no, listen, it's super interesting. Wentz in Indy, that, I mean, like, look, they're not giving up a ton for him, and that allows them to continue to shop and use their other picks. You know, for it's only a third round pick this year, so they continue to be able to load up. Obviously, Jacksonville feels like they're in rebuild mode. Then you have Houston. Do they completely scrap it or do they build around Deshaun Watson, which is what they say they want to do? But just because you say you want to do it doesn't mean you'll do it. In that division, you know what you're getting from Tennessee. Indy, another year, another quarterback, and another former Frank Reich quarterback, right? Is there anybody that Frank Reich's worked with that he hasn't yet coached? That'll be their quarterback next year. But, okay, so now we've seen three starters change places already in the NFL at quarterback, right? You've seen Goff and Stafford. Wentz wasn't the start at the end of the year, but was the starter. So now you've seen three. When does this end? Last year we saw.
I think there's more, right? I think there's going to be more.
Well, I mean, speculation over Garoppolo, speculation over Darnold. We don't know on Deshaun. We don't know what happens in Chicago. Jameis Winston. Marcus Mariota's kind of got a screwy contract that's got a ton of incentives, so maybe he ends up being stuck with the Raiders. Like, there are other guys out there, which make it really interesting to see where they'll move. We don't know who the Saints quarterback's going to be. Teddy Bridgewater could be the Panthers quarterback, or could be elsewhere, or could just be a placeholder this year. Washington still needs a quarterback. We started by talking about Ben Roethlisberger, whether or not he'll be welcome back. Obviously, it comes down to how little money he'll take. I mentioned Chicago previously. The Cowboys still haven't signed Dak Prescott.
Yep, and the Cowboys. There's another one. It's going to be interesting. We might have 10 or 11 guys changing places when it's all said and done.
What's fascinating about it is for the NFL, for the longest time, you talk to NFL people, and they'll all say, like, we're not like basketball. You want to turn on the TV and know who's playing for who. That's part of the familiarity that builds our fan bases. And that could completely go out the window with all this quarterback movement.
Yep. It's a different era in the NFL, no doubt about it.
All right, are the Colts a Super Bowl team with Carson Wentz?
No, not this year.
I think they'll be very much a contender. Last year they were a quarterback away. I don't know if Frank Reich can fix him, but if anybody can fix him, Frank Reich can fix him. All right, we're back tomorrow. Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb, thanks for listening. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.